This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Wong Xiaoning. It's 7:35 a.m. Friday, the 4th of December, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Roshan, what's happening today?
This is quite an interesting one, or maybe I'm just a really big nerd. I'm speaking to Tan Bin Ru, Southeast Asia CEO for One Connect Financial Technology. They're a technology as a service platform for financial institutions. They've intentionally used the word technology as opposed to service, and they're part of the Ping An Group. And if you didn't know, they're China's largest insurance provider. They're listed on the New York Stock Exchange with a $8.5 billion market cap and are one of eight entities with a virtual banking license in Hong Kong. So they launched in Malaysia, I think, last week. I'll be speaking to their Southeast Asia CEO, Tan Bin Ru, on their foray into the region, whether they can go past the Ping An revenue that they get, the potential they see in the digital banking landscape, and their revenue dependence on their parent group. That's also something that's a big part of their business. All this and more during the breakfast grill after the 8 a.m. news bulletin.
Be sure to stay tuned. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to what's been happening over in the U.S. because this week, President-elect Joe Biden promised that help is on the way as America struggles with its worst financial crisis in decades, and as well as a raging COVID-19 pandemic. Now, that help comes in the form of an economic team, a total of six advisors, including Janet Yellen, who is Biden's choice for Treasury Secretary. If her appointment is confirmed by the Senate, she'll be the first woman to lead the U.S. Treasury in its 230-year history.
Biden's announcement of his economic team comes soon after he revealed his list of cabinet nominees. With his top picks now in place, the president-elect will have to prepare for a tough confirmation battle ahead in the current Republican-heavy Senate. He also needs to manage a divided Democratic Party, where the progressives and moderates, once united during the campaign, are now showing their deep generational and ideological differences.
So to walk us through what lies ahead for President-elect Biden, we have on the line with us this morning Catherine Dantenpas, Senior Fellow at the University of Virginia. Catherine, thanks so much for speaking with us today. What did you think of Biden's diverse economic team, which he claims will build the economy back better than it was before?
Right. I think his picks are very interesting for a couple of reasons. One is that compared to the Trump administration, they all have extensive experience in government. Many of them have served in the Obama administration, and some go as far back as the Clinton administration. The other thing aspect of these appointments that's unique is that there is so much diversity, not just with putting Janet Yellen at the forefront, but appointing African-Americans and appointing other minorities to key positions. And that, again, is a stark contrast to what we've had with the Trump administration.
Let's talk about Janet Yellen here. She's described the pandemic and economic fallout as an American tragedy and has said it's essential to move with urgency. So what do you think we can expect from her if her appointment to lead the U.S. Treasury is accepted by the Senate?
I think she will work much more expeditiously to provide relief to those in this country who need it because of COVID-19. There are not only a lot of people who don't have health insurance, but there's lots of businesses that are basically hanging on by a thread right now, particularly in the restaurant industry and the entertainment industry. So I suspect she'll move quickly to negotiate with Congress to try to pass something within the first couple weeks.
Catherine, that said, though, she needs to get past Senate. Actually, all of Biden's picks need to get past the Senate. Do you expect these confirmation sessions to be tough ones, essentially?
Well, it really depends. As you might know, there are two runoff elections on January 5th, and that will determine the majority in the Senate. If the Democrats win both of those, the Democrats will have control of the Senate, and it will make it much easier for the president's picks to lead the various departments, his cabinet picks, his sub-cabinet picks to get through. But if he does not, then he's already tended to pick people who tend to be more moderates than progressives. I don't anticipate he'll have too much trouble. Generally speaking, even when the other party controls the Senate, they tend to, unless there are highly unusual circumstances, they tend to defer to the president with their selection. So as long as the person is qualified, they've gotten through all the FBI checks and the Senate background checks, oftentimes the Senate defers to the president. I realize that we are in a much more polarized moment in the United States, so perhaps the Republican Senate, if they do maintain control, will be tougher. But I think most of his picks to date are pretty hard to argue with in terms of qualifications.
And let's talk about the Georgia runoff Senate races there. Well, at this point, I know I'm asking you a bit of a crystal ball question here, but what's the likelihood that the Dems take those two seats?
Yeah, that is a tough question. I think it's obviously much harder to take. The Republicans only need one, right? So it's obviously they have a much easier hand that's been dealt to them. But there is a chance. As you might know, there's been lots of sort of controversy in light of President Trump's continued challenging of the election results. And there are some Republicans that do not believe in the process and think that somehow the process was rigged. And they are telling Georgia Republicans not to vote because they're so upset with how the presidential election has turned out. So in a sense, what they're doing could ultimately backfire on them in that the Senate could end up in Democratic control. So that's a very unusual phenomenon that's happening. Their Republicans are basically telling Republicans not to vote in these Georgia Senate races. And if that happens, then the two Democrats win. And then, you know, so there's a lot of unknowns. It's not a typical race. It's also the case there's still going to be mail-in because COVID is raging in this country. And so there'll still be mail-in ballots, which makes it easy for a lot of people and encourages high turnout. There's also the case that some people just might be kind of just tired of politics and worn out by the process. Mm-hmm. Another countervailing fact is that there's a lot of money that's pouring into Georgia right now that will be spent on the campaign. And I'm sure those efforts will be sort of get out the vote drives. So there's so many different forces at work right now. It's hard for me to predict what will happen. But I would say if you had to be like an odds on favorite, you would say that the Republicans will probably hold a very slim lead in the Senate.
So, Catherine, let's talk about Biden's cabinet picks themselves. Now, he's pegged Anthony Blinken, who's been by Biden's side for 20 years, as his Secretary of State. What kind of foreign policy does this mean that we can possibly expect from both Biden and Blinken after President Trump's era of isolationism?
Yeah, well, as you know, so much of foreign policy is reacting to events. So the question is kind of how will they react? And at the same time, what will they do in the aftermath of the Trump administration? And I think the latter question is that their first goal is going to be to repair the United States reputation, particularly in relation to large organizations like NATO and the Paris Climate Accords and things like that. I think that the things that President Trump kind of tended to either withdraw the United States from or alienate the United States from other diplomatic efforts, I think that they're going to try to mend those fences first and foremost. And then much of what they have to do is really react to what's happening around the world, what's happening with Russia, what's happening with Iran and other countries like that and China. So it's a little bit hard to predict. I think you can probably assume to some extent that it will be very similar to the Obama administration, kind of very careful, very calculating. No surprises, just because sort of he comes from that era. And Biden is simply a moderate.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Catherine. That was Catherine Dunn-Tenpas, Senior Fellow at the University of Virginia. Shanning, what were some of your takeaways from that conversation?
She made it sound like Biden was a grown-up for a change, that he's picked basically a very experienced batch of people. And there's a lot of interesting diversity within there, not just women, but also minorities. But I think, of course, the big question is, what is their approach going to be when it comes to the economic policy? I think Janet Yellen is well known for her views on unemployment. I think there will be a focus on that in terms of bringing the numbers down from the current 7% to probably what it was before pre-COVID, which is 3-4%. But I think that's going to be a big challenge for them, especially since, as she highlights, the House of Senate is not in Democratic control at the moment.
Yeah, and I think all eyes will also be on the runoffs that are set to happen, which Catherine pointed out, in early January, to see who really does take control of the Senate. It looks like it's going to be quite the toss-up, so we'll be watching that quite closely. But right now, we are heading into some messages, and up next, diving into the health allocation for Budget 2021 with former Health Minister Dr. Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad. Stay tuned for that conversation in just a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.